Thank you, Sandy. Wow. That is awesome. One of the dilemmas that I face is that I'm in part of the big social network called Facebook. And if I'm not your friend, click me, okay? I want to be your friend. But sometimes, to my chagrin, I find out that believers are celebrating Halloween. They get all excited about it, like, what you gonna wear? And I'm gonna make my kid this. And so I pulled out a teaching that I did last year. If you didn't get it, I encourage you to get it. Should a believer celebrate Halloween? And they're only $5. It's a two-part series. If you can't afford the $5, give what you can. If you put 50 cents in there, I'll give it to you because I want you to have it, and I want all of your friends to get it as well, okay? By the way, we're having a... No, we're not. Yeah, what? Well, okay, we're going to celebrate on Halloween, but we're not having a Halloween party. We're going to have a Holy Ghost party. Because there ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. That'll be on Sunday night, October 31st. We're going to come back here at 7 o'clock. We're going to invite the West to come over. We're going to put the combined worship team together. We're going to have prayer. We're going to have praise. And I'm going to get dressed up in the righteousness of God. How about you? Amen. So I'd give this to somebody, but they gave it to me and it's empty. So I can't give that. I don't want to give you something that's absolutely empty. Look, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a message today that Sandra's already preached, that the Holy Ghost has already spoke around the altars, that the worship team has already begun to declare. I tell you, there's such unity in this room. I feel like all I got to do is stand up here and go, amen, and walk away and let God be God. But I tell you, I want to just share with you today the importance of continuing in faith. Not to give up, don't quit, don't get defeated, don't get overwhelmed, don't feel like somehow you are not going to make it. No, I'm good. No, it's fine right here. You are going to make it. I want you to turn in the Word of God to Luke chapter 17. I'm only going to keep a few minutes with you here today. I'm not going to keep you long, but you've got to get this Word in your heart because the Holy Ghost is wanting to revive faith again in the local church. I don't know what happened to us, but for some reason, we got a little arrogant. We got a little prideful. We almost thought that we can do this on our own. But how many know that without God, everything's impossible without Him, right? Listen to what Luke chapter 17 says, and we're going to begin in verse 5. It says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So evidently, they wanted more faith. So they came to Jesus and said, hey, can you give us more faith? Would you increase our faith? Now, I would think that if Jesus was asked that question, he would deal with the subject, which is faith. Here's what he said. If you have faith as a mustard seed. Now he's saying, you don't need a lot of faith. Just go with what you've got. Just a little bit. He said, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it's going to obey you. Now watch this. He takes a little turn in the next verse. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's coming from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Okay, now wait a minute. Holy Ghost, you lost me. I'm asking you about increasing my faith. You're telling me that if I have faith as a seed, size of a mustard seed, I can say to this mulberry tree, be thou removed and it'll obey me. I'm with you. Now you're talking about having a servant out in a field. And wait a minute, how did we get on that? Evidently, there must be some truth to the increase of our faith and the dutifulness of a servant. Jesus goes on and says in verse 8, if you will, please, verse 8. But he will not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. He's saying, look, don't you think that because you're the servant that he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. He said, I'm not going to thank you just for doing what you ought to be doing. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to get an attitude with me. Just because you've been out in the field all day, that you can come in and eat before me. I'm still the master, and you're the servant. Now, what was Jesus teaching in this? I believe what he was teaching is that it is our duty to walk by faith and not by sight. It is our duty to continue in faith even if we don't see change. You and I are called to be people of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. And I'll tell you, faith is a decision, not just a mental assent. We talked about that last week. We started to identify the fact that my faith was when I jumped out of the window at 13,000 feet. It was my decision that caused me not to be able to go backwards. Because once you've fallen at 120 feet a second, you have no choice but to rely upon the parachute. To rely upon the structure that God has placed in your life. Because you've committed yourself. And what I was hearing by the Holy Spirit during our worship time and our prayer time was to give our life away. Sandra, your song, it just came together. The whole concept around prayer was during communion is surrendering all, giving everything to God. And then I come up here with this sermon. I'm thinking, God, you are too good. This is like a tag team thing. I mean, how can you come to church and not get it this morning? That God wants us to continue in faith, not to grow weary. But to continue in faith. He goes on to say that that prepare something for me. Verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? He said, I think not. So likewise you, when you've done all these things which you are commanded, saying we are unprofitable servants. We have done what our duty is to do. You see, we have a duty, and that is to walk by faith. But I tell you, when you're out in the field and you're working all day long and you don't seem to be seeing any change, it's easy to start giving up. It's easy to start quitting because you get exasperated. You start feeling as though that it's overwhelming and it's too much and nothing's changing. You know, I've been hearing from the Lord about that. I said, God, you know what? I've been doing this for a lot of years now, Lord. And I have expectation. I have belief. I have promises that you've given me. And a lot of those haven't come to pass. I'm thinking, God, why haven't they come to pass? Lord, I just don't understand. He said, you know what? That's not for you to even be concerned about. I just need you to keep serving me supper. I just need you to keep being the servant. I just need you to start doing and keep doing what I've told you to do. And don't give up and don't quit. And get a resolve in your own spirit that you're not going to be defeated. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in verse 10b, he said, it's your duty to do, to hear and act accordingly, not allowing any diversions based on human comfort or argument to play in your life. Because after you've endured a while, it's easy to look for a place of comfort. Because when you're starting to resist and you're resisting and you're resisting, after a while you get weary. You get a little tired. And it's real easy to give up. Especially when people around you are telling you that you can give up. That you can quit or you can go back into the world. Or you can begin walking by sight. But let me tell you something. You and I have been bought with a price. We don't have that option of quitting. You see, I'm no longer my own. I belong to Jesus Christ. How many here today belong to Jesus Christ? Amen? Look around. You see all those hands? You don't see, we're part of a kingdom. We're part of a movement that is much bigger than us. Faith is more than just knowledge. If it was only knowledge, Jesus would have never came to the earth. He would have never been made flesh. He would have stayed knowledge. He would have stayed the word. But he had to come into the earth to become a relationship. That you would walk with him and become intimate with him. And that you would hear his voice through the Holy Spirit. And you would be obedient to what he had to say. I said Romans chapter 1 verse 17 last week. We talked about how in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. But you see, the real definition of that can be interpreted this way. The individual whose personality and behavior are acceptable to how God thinks. I want my life to be acceptable to how God thinks. Not about how Madison Avenue thinks. Not how about denominations think. Not about my family, how they think, or my friends think. I want my life and my personality to be in alignment with what God thinks. He goes on to say in that scripture, we can define it this way. They speak and act as one who loves, seeks, relies on, hopes in, obeys, and trusts God. See, this is a time when we've got to get our confidence back in God. Because we started putting our confidence in the economy. And what happened to our economy? It's being shaken. Do you know, I believe the Bible said that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And especially people of faith, we start wondering, God, why is all this stuff shaking around us? We're tithing, we're giving, and all of a sudden I find myself short. at the end of my month. I find myself in a troubled place. I find myself in a hard place. And we start looking around for solutions. But I want you to remember what Jesus told his disciples. He said, if you want increased faith, I want you to continue to do your duty. You and I are a servant of the Word of God. You and I live every day and every moment to perform His Word. I am not going to begin to react and respond to what I see, feel, or the people around me. I don't care if everybody I know quits. I'm not quitting. I've already made a resolve that I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. See, if you don't make that decision, you will change your mind. You've got to make that choice every day and understand your position. When you start getting prideful in life, you start thinking you deserve supper because you've been there so long. And for a person like me, that's real easy. 31 years in this thing. I think, Lord, I paid my price. I've given everything else. What do you want from me? How about some change here, God? I want some change happening. And it's real easy to start getting arrogant and prideful and thinking that by now I should be this and by now I should have that. And by now, what about that prophecy, Lord? And by now, what about this prophecy? And God said, you know what? Shut up and make me dinner. I said, shut up and make you dinner? God, I've been in this house for 30-some years doing this. Look, we got to be careful that we don't start thinking that we're the master. We're just going to do our duty. And my duty is to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm not letting anybody talk me out of it. I don't care how modern the church gets. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care how comfortable the church gets. I'm not moving off my position of faith because I've determined that that's what pleases God. And whether I please no one else in my life, I am going to please God. See, you and I have got to come to that position that I'm in this to please the Master. And I'm not worried about anybody else but God. See, you and I have to build our confidence in God. Because I believe you can do the difficult thing. Because difficulty will come. Faith is able to overcome the difficult times. And if you didn't have difficult times, you wouldn't need faith. And sometimes when difficulty comes and it stares you right in the face, you look at it and you think, oh, what am I going to do now? And God said, just have faith in me. You know, we can do the unexpected. I know there are people that never expected you to come this far. They thought you would either die an early death, that you would quit, that you wouldn't stay married, that you would be sick and you'd be in the hospital. You know, they're expecting, Sandra, your daughter, to come up with this disease and never come out of the hospital. That's what they're expecting. But people of faith don't walk in what's expected. People of faith walk in what's unexpected. So what I've got to do is start focusing on what is everybody not expecting. If that can get my hand on that, then that's what I'm going to believe. Because God said I can do the difficult thing and I can do the unexpected thing. He also said, I can do the impossible thing. Well, say it's impossible. You can't do this or you can't do that. You see, I get riled up when somebody says I can't do something, especially when the devil starts to talk to me, especially when my past starts to talk to me, especially when my natural qualifications say you're not intelligent enough, you're not smart enough, you're not good looking enough, you're not young enough, you're not whatever enough. I love when that starts talking because I know the enemy is nervous and he has to somehow divert my attention. But I'm going to stay focused on what God said. See, you and I have to have that kind of resolve when we get up in the morning. Because we're walking by faith. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to walk by faith. You see, I've come just to serve the Lord. I'm a servant of Jesus. That's all I am. Mark 10:45. Look what Jesus said. Look what he did. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. Haven't we raised up a generation where we're trying to serve? We're trying to make everybody feel comfortable in church. Let me tell you, if you're comfortable in church, you're in the wrong church. You ought to be uncomfortable from time to time. You ought to start wringing your hands from time to time. You ought to start shuffling in your seat from time to time. You ought to start feeling like I got to go from time to time. Because you know that if you're too comfortable, you're in the wrong place. Let me tell you something. I don't agree with this concept. Join the church of your choice. No, no, no. Because if you were to choose it, they'd be feeding you dinner, putting you up in lazy boy chairs, and getting you out in 20 minutes and massaging your back while the preacher's preaching. Not a bad idea, huh? But this is a time when we don't want to be served. We want to serve. I want to serve the purposes of God in this generation. And the way I can serve the purposes of God is to take him at his word. And if he said he wants a crop in the field, then buddy, I'm going to be working in that field. If he wants dinner on the table after I've exhausted myself, I refuse to sit down and take care of me without first taking care of him. Because he's my master, Lord, Savior. He's my redeemer, my healer, my deliverer. And I will not let his kingdom want, because I walk by faith. Come on, lift up a hand and just tell the Lord, say, I'm going to walk by faith. Come on, tell him again. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith. Whatever you say, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whatever you say. Because let me tell you, here's the challenges. You know what the challenges are? The realities of our faith are not visible. And we have groomed a generation to be moved by what you see. You don't see a crowd come? Wow, I must not be doing it right. If somebody doesn't buy your product, well, I guess maybe God didn't call me into this business. No, 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 we're not moved by what we see. Because the realities of faith are, they're invisible. Everybody say invisible. Invisible. Tell somebody, that means you can't see them. We are more at home with what we can touch and possess. And faith will not let you touch it. While you are operating in faith, you won't see it. It doesn't become visible. It's the expectation. It is the hope of those things that will be manifest. But people who walk by faith see them in the realm of the unseen. You see, faith is an expression of confidence in God. It's like Abraham in Genesis 12 and verse 1. This is an incredible story. God speaks to Abraham, a moon worshiper. And he says to Abraham, get thee out of your country. Leave your family. And what does Abraham do? In verse 4, and Abraham departed. That wouldn't happen in a million years in most churches today. Because we would talk God out of his rationale. Are you kidding me? I got my house to be concerned about. What about my grass? Who's going to feed my dog? You don't hear any of that in scripture, do you? All you hear is Abraham departed. That's wild, man. That really just challenges me. He didn't dialogue with God. He didn't argue with God. He didn't debate with God's thinking. He just left. That gives me an insight about faith. Faith is movement. Faith is movement. When you're not moving, you're not in faith. You and I have got to be moving. Look at this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. God shows up one day. He comes to Noah. He said, hey, Noah, build me an ark. Crazy. What's an ark? You know the background. It had never rained. There are no boats. He doesn't live on a lake. What do I need an ark for? He didn't debate God's thinking and his rationale and his logic and how it didn't make sense. What did he do? In verse 22, thus Noah did. Can you say that with me? Thus Noah did. Can you shout it? Thus Noah did. You know what I'm looking for? Is a whole church of people that when God speaks, thus the church did. It doesn't matter how it looks. I've got a little story for you, though. Because in this modern era of the church, it could sound something like this. Hey, Noah, where's the ark which I've commanded thee to build? Look, Lord, verily I say unto thee, I've had three carpenters call off ill just this week. The gopher wood supplier, he let me down. Yea, and I say, even though the gopher wood hath been on order for nigh upon 12 months, Lord, what can I do, Jesus? And God said to Noah, I want that ark finished, even after 7 days and seven nights. And Noah said, it will be so. And it was not so. And the Lord said to Noah, hey, Noah, what seemeth to be the trouble this timeth? And Noah said to the Lord, my subcontractor went bankrupt. Hey, you know that pitch which I'm supposed to put on the outside and on the inside? It's on back order and it hasn't arrived yet. The plumber, he's on strike, and you're not going to believe it. My son, Shem, Japheth, and Ham, they formed a rock group and went on tour. I don't have anybody to help me. And the Lord grew angry and said, all right, what about the animals? The male and the female of every sort that I ordered to come to thee to keep their seed alive on the face of the earth. What about them? Well, they were delivered to the wrong address and they said I should have them by next Friday. The Lord said, well, what about the unicorn and the fowls of the air by the sevens? Noah wrung his hands and he wept. He said, Lord, the unicorns are a discontinued line. Thou canst not get them for love nor money anywhere. And the fowls of the air, they're only sold in the half dozen. Lord, you know how it is. Lord, you know how it is. Lord, you know how it is. And the Lord said, no, my son, I know how it is. That's why else do you think I'm going to cause a flood to descend on the earth and wipe you all out? You know, we are full of excuses. I've been in this thing so long, I've heard every excuse in the book. I can write a book, Church Excuses. I mean, I've heard them. We have come up with the best. And we ask God to excuse us. Because we've got oxen. They're brand new. And we need to try them out. Please excuse me. I just got married. You know how it is when you first get married. And I had a family member. They passed. And I just can't make it right now. And over the years, when God says walk by faith, we come up with the reasons why we can't. And they're good excuses. I've heard some of the best excuses in church. I mean, you would probably get people to pay for them in the marketplace so they could get out of work. I can't make it to this. I can't make it to that. I'd like to help you, but we want to give, but right now, we'll come next week. Can't serve now, but, you know, put our name down. And the dutiful pastor just stands there and smiles and said, we understand, Noah. I mean, we understand. I know they're on back order. I know your sons are on tour. I know the carpenters are ill. I know the plumber didn't show up. I know the animals only come in half dozens. I understand. And all God's looking for is somebody to say, I'm going to walk by faith. And I'm not going to rationalize it in my mind to say this doesn't work. Because God's called me to be a servant in the house of God. Church, we ought to have pages of volunteers for everything we do. Pages waiting for an opportunity to be in the nursery, waiting for an opportunity to be on the evangelism team and go out, waiting for an opportunity to clean the church. What happens to the church? What happens to a generation like the one I just explained? Jesus said this to the 70. He sent them out to do great signs and wonders. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 4. He tells them something in that particular verse. He said, carry neither money bag. Why don't you read it with me? Carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals, and greet no one along the road. Now that sounds weird. I think, God, okay, how am I supposed to buy my lunch? What am I supposed to sleep in? I thought this was a message for people who needed Jesus, and you don't want me to talk to anybody. This is weird. Have you ever thought it was weird when God tells you to do something? Have you ever felt a little strange about His commandments? Man, I have. This is one. I said, Holy Spirit, you need to show me. You need to teach me. What were you trying to say? And He simply told me this. When I tell my people a word, I don't want them to take a money bag, because what they'll be concerned about is the material goods in their life over what I told them to do. When material things get in the way of spiritual things, you are more focused on the money bag than you are on what God said. I said, Lord, okay, I got that one. But what about this knapsack thing? What about this carrying of the knapsack where I can rest my body? He said, you know what the problem is with my church? I tell them what to do, and if they ever have hardship in doing it, they're looking for the easy way out. They want to be comforted. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to be corrected. They want everything their way. They want to be tucked in every night and made to feel comfortable. And here's what he tells the 70. Don't worry about material things. And don't take your comfortability with you. Let me tell you about ministry. It is uncomfortable. And if it isn't, you're not in it. Selah. He goes on to say, leave your what? Sandals. Leave your sandals. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, John. Here's what he said. He said, you know what happens when I tell somebody to do something? I tell them, I say, I want you to go over there, and I want you to sit next to Al, and I don't want you to go to the right or go to the left. When you take sandals, it speaks of direction. And en route to doing what God said, we take detours of our own choosing. And he said, I don't want you to take pathways that I didn't tell you to take. Because you're a servant of mine. And if I tell you to go, I want you to go. And not on your way, you decide to go somewhere else. Then he says this. And greet no one along the road. I thought, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to help me with this one. I mean, I get the rest of them. But what's this not talking to anybody else? What's that all about? And he simply said this. When I tell you to do something, stop letting people talk you out of it. Let me tell you something. Some of you have started out in the journey of faith with power, with commitment, with sacrifice. You have given it all to Jesus, but along the way, you've talked to the wrong people. Some of you would never touch alcohol when you first got saved, but now you're sipping. You're drinking alcohol and you've justified it. You know how you've done it? Because of the people you're hanging with. And God said, I don't want you to be talking to them. We've allowed liberality to move into the church based on influences of people. And our convictions have gone out the door for convenience. Don't shout me down. You see, when you get into the wrong relationships, people will always talk you out of doing what God is trying to talk you into. You give what to the church? Are you kidding me? I would never get that. 10% to the church? That's all that's all about. Just all they want is your money. You think, well, yeah. Seemed like, well, he did start passing the bags this past Sunday. I'm just wondering if that's not true. What could I do with that money? Boy, if I had that 10%, man, I could go here and I could do that. Yeah, you deserve it. You work hard. You know that's too much for the church. They don't need all that money. You better watch who you talk to when you are on your assignment from the Most High God. So Jesus basically said this. I don't want you to carry a money bag, a knapsack, sandals, and greet no one along the road. In other words, look, I love you, but I ain't got time to be diverted by what you offer or what you think. I am focused on Jesus. We're talking about radical Christianity here. We're talking about radical faith. We're saying we're Bible believing. Whatever in your lap, you believe it. If it says to do this, then you do it. And you say, well, I'm not going to talk myself out of it, and I'm not going to let people talk me out of it, and I don't care if it's uncomfortable. It's all right, because I know in due season, I am going to reap my reward. Can I get an amen in here? I am going to reap my reward if I continue to do what he tells me to do. I love Hebrews 11, 17 and 19. Listen to this. This is dynamic. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. He goes on in verse 18 to say, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. God, why would you tell me that I'm going to be the father of many nations? You're going to tell me to take the very seed of my loin and offer it up as a sacrifice when he is the channel of what you're telling me to do. It doesn't make sense. Concluding. You know what conclusions are? The end. Everybody say the end. You and I have got to reach a point when we walk with God that we get to the end before we even start. In other words, I already know my end from my beginning. In other words, he concluded that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. In other words, it didn't matter. He was obeying God, and if he had to offer up a sacrifice of Isaac, he knew that God was able to raise him up, because he concluded in his mind that you told me before that out of my loins, Isaac would be the promised child. Therefore, I don't know what you've got to do, but whatever you've got to do, I've already concluded in my mind. It's over. Excuse me for getting excited. I can't help myself. Let me regain my composure. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. Faith lies in the move. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with great fear. Would you say that with me? Moved. Just moved with great fear. Moved. Faith is in the movement. It's in the action of what God has said. Look at verse 6. Hebrews 11. And verse 6. It's in the move. By faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who move. Diligently seek him. Move towards him. Take aggressive action towards him. That's why Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. But I prayed that you remain comfortable. He didn't say that. I pray you have all your money in your 401k. He didn't pray that. I pray you have an extra pair of Nikes. He didn't pray that. I pray you have a soft bed. No. He said, I pray that your what? Faith may not what? Fail. In other words, that you keep on keeping on, Peter, that you keep moving in faith, that you don't fail. Because the moment we stop moving is the moment our faith fails. Today, in record numbers, people are stop. They're in stop mode. They've stopped coming to church. I don't need a church. I can have church at home. I worship Jesus on the TV with all the TV preachers. You know, don't make me come back there because I will slap you. It ain't all about you. The gift and personality and smile and touch and tenderness and compassion that you have in your life, I just may need it today. Because now it's all about you. You're at home watching TV with your feet up. And I'm here going, oh, I need somebody to love on me. Somebody hug me, hold me. Ain't nobody, I can't find nobody. Because you're at home having church. Well, bless you. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, as is the habit of too many. Huh? As we get closer to the appearing, look, I need you. I may not even like you, but I need you. I mean, let's just be real. There's some folk you don't like when you meet them. Like, ooh, I don't like her, but I need her. I need what God's put in you, baby. And you need what God has put in me. The moment we stop praying, the moment we stop reading our Bible, the moment we stop serving in the local church is the moment that we have walked out of faith. We have to keep moving in the things of God. I want to ask you today, have you stopped? Have you put it in neutral? Have you let people talk you out of your faith? Have you prioritized your comfort over obedience? Have you got an arm length of excuses that you've been using as to why that ark's not finished yet? You see, it is a time for us to make a determination that the rest of my life, be it 1 hour, be it 1 minute, be it 10 years, I will walk by faith and not by sight. The beauty about our God is He is a redeemer. And He redeems the time. You know, this is powerful. Because up to now, you might have been carrying around a knapsack, carrying around a money bag, carrying around an extra pair of shoes, yada, 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 yada. And God said, okay, preach this message because I want them to give it up. Some of you have already done that at the altar. And some of you are going to have to do it along with me. And say, God, every minute in this world, 4,000 people die. Isn't that an incredible figure? Every hour since we've been in this church, over 120,000 people have went into eternity. Every hour, 96,000 people die. It's probably more than that now because this statistic is a little bit old. So you see, I don't know how much time I have. I may not have come in with a blaze of glory. I may not have even lived with a blaze of glory. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going out with a blaze of glory. Because I'm going to determine that from now on, it's all about Jesus, man. It's not about me. It's all about God. Would you agree with me? Come on, lift your hands up and let's agree. Father, we say now that it's all about you. It's not about us. Come on, just tell Him. Say, it's about you, Jesus. And I want to go out as a blazing glory. I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a woman of faith. I don't want to be a disappointment. I don't want to look for comfort. I'm looking, oh God, for your word to come to pass in my life. And I'm standing in this moment, Lord Jesus. I'm standing in this moment, God, as your servant. And whatever you say, God, I'm going to do. I'm making a decision right now to walk by faith. I want to please you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Boy, I feel like I'm a part and I'm with a mighty army this morning. I feel it all over this room. I can feel your faith. I can feel you're reaching out to God. I can feel that you really are making a choice to say it's all about God and it's not about me. It's a wonderful moment. It's a moment in time when God is putting an X on this day. And may the Holy Spirit always point back and say, do you remember October 3rd? That's when you pleased me so much. And you said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Would you stand with me? Lord, I'm your servant. And I give myself to you today. I give my heart to you today. And I promise from this day forward to only serve you. In Jesus' name. If you're here today, church, you're here today and you say, you know what? I've never given my life to Christ. I've been playing with God. And I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. You know, you can do that right where you're standing. Simply crying out and saying, Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to save me. Be the Lord of my life. Take over, God. I give it to you. Are you ready to do that? If you haven't done it, would you do it right now? And then as soon as we're dismissed, there are going to be wonderful people up here that will pray with you about that choice. We'll give you some information that you can know more about it. On Wednesday night, we're just now getting started in a series on the book of Revelation. I'd love to have you be a part of that. It's been wonderful. Man, we had a great time Wednesday night. So if you could join us at 7 o'clock, that'd be awesome. Don't forget to get your clam bake tickets. That's going to be great for the youth ministry. It's going for a good cause. So love everybody. Pray hard and live right. And on your way out, put a big smile on your face because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Amen? And listen to this. If God be for you, who can be against you? Come on, encourage somebody on your way out. If God be for you, who can be against you? Tell them. Say nobody, because God's got your back. We love you. Have a great afternoon. See you Wednesday night. If you need prayer, come on up.